from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian and Singaporean armed forces hold joint military exercise. Small medium enterprises are Indonesian economic backbone. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian National Army and Singapore's armed forces hold a joint military exercises at Battle and Training Education Center at the Regional Military Base 5 Brawijaya Asam Bagus, Situbondo, Regency, East Java from November 12 to 19. The joint military exercise aims to enhance military relationship between the two countries and establish coordination in case there will be a joint operation. It was stated by Head of Information at the Regional Military Base 5 Brawijaya, Colonel Infantry Singgih Pambudi in Situbondo, East Java on Monday, November 12, based on report from Antara. Colonel Singgi told that the 30th joint military exercise involved 290 Indonesian Army personnel, 170 personnel of three Singapore's armed forces. Singgi Pambudi hopes the joint military exercise could develop the friendship, cooperation, professionalism, so that the objectives of the military exercise can be achieved. So far, both sides have learned to apply the tactics and techniques of battle based on their own experiences. Director General of the Small Medium Enterprises at the Indonesian Industrial Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsih, said that the small and medium enterprises contribute to supporting the national economy because the activities of these industries can give positive output for the development of national economy. Gati Wibawaningsih, in her written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday, November 12, said that the power of domestic SMEs is shown by the increasing amount of these industries. Based on the report of the Industry Ministry, there were 3.52 million SMEs or small-medium enterprises in 2014, and the number developed to 4.49 million in the first semester of 2018. It means there have been 97,000 more industries in the past 4 years. Gati believes that the number of the national SMEs will continue to increase due to the growth of middle-class people, which approximately will reach 70% in 2025. Gati Wibawaningsih affirmed that her site is trying to support the growth of new enterprises, particularly in the SME sectors. However, the development of the 4.0 industrial revolution encourages national SMEs or small-medium enterprises to immediately empower the latest technology. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Archandra Tahar said, that the process of oil and gas business implemented by the government has three aspects in a bid to achieve justice. It was stated by Minister Archandra based on the official statement of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday. Minister Archandra explained the first pillar is that the government must facilitate investors who have signed contracts with them. Secondly, the government should explain the investors regarding the policy applied by the government. Lastly, the government should be informed by the investors about the progress of their investments. The three pillars are also implemented in the control of 51% of Freeport shares and the handover of Rokan Block to Pertamina in 2021. The government hopes the policies will provide additional value, competitive business, and advantages for all sides. Indonesian President Joko Widodo admitted Indonesian startup companies have an opportunity to expand to the neighboring countries. However, there are also obstacles that challenge their expansion. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesian creative industries develop rapidly. Currently, Indonesia has four unicorn startups, which are named as the seven biggest startups in Southeast Asia. The four unicorn startups include Traveloka, Gojek, Bukalapak, and Tokopedia, which belong to millennial generations. Unicorn is a title attributed to startup which worth $1 billion or equivalent to 13.5 trillion rupiah. President Joko Widodo told that Gojek has expanded to Vietnam and will soon expand to Singapore and the Philippines. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. One of the steering committees at the Paris Peace Forum, Yeni Wahid, talked about the role of women at the Paris Peace Forum, which has taken place from November 11 to 13, 2018. At the forum, Yeni was invited as a speaker in one session about the role of women in struggling for independence, including the program of Peaceful Village and early detection system of radicalism. Yeni Wahid remarked that the radicalism issue in the village could be solved by the incorporation of economic empowerment and religious education. As quoted by Antara on Monday, November 12, Yeni said that she could be selected from 12 steering committees in Southeast Asian region due to her contributions in Nahdlatul Ulama and the Wahid Institute, which could promote peace to grassroots and support the empowerment of marginalized women. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya is attempting to make the Tabuk Festival in Pariaman City, West Sumatra, as a national tourism agenda. This was stated by Minister Arief Yahya in Pariaman after closing the Tour de Singkarak 2018, based on the report of Antara on Sunday, November 11. According to Minister Arief Yahya, the tourism festival has not been listed as a national agenda because it has not fulfilled the criteria of the assessment carried out by a special team. Arief Yahya said that making one event to be a national tourism agenda is not easy because there are some requirements. Moreover, the assessment is conducted by experts. However, Arief Yahya believed that the Tabuk Cultural Festival held on the 1st to 10th of Muharram or Islamic calendar in Pariaman still has opportunity to be a national tourism agenda. Pariaman's mayor, Genius Umar, said that the Tabuk Cultural Festival is one of the efforts to advance tourism and creative economic sectors. In each of its implementation, the festival successfully attracts myriad domestic tourists from various regions and even foreign tourists. The last item. Indonesian men's doubles team Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo and Marcus Gideon won their champion title at the China Open 2018 after defeating the host team in a final round held at Haixia Olympic Sports Center, Kangshan District, Fuzhou, China, on Sunday, November 11. Based on the report from Antara in Jakarta and an official World Badminton website, Kevin and Marcus won three sets against the doubles team He Jiting and Tan Qiang in 58 minutes duration. The victory marks the third achievement of the minions against the world's 17th males doubles. The record of their meeting is now 3-1 after their last meeting of the Denmark Open 2018. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian and Singaporean armed forces hold joint military exercise. Small and medium enterprises, SMEs, are Indonesian economic backbone. That was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia Towards Industrial Revolution 4.0. The Governor of Republic of Indonesia along with the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, held the first Regional Conference on Industrial Development, RCID, in Bali on 8 until 9 November 2018. These activities aims to open opportunity and potential in the application of Industrial Revolution 4.0 in developing countries in the region of Asia-Pacific. The fourth generation industry, or Industry 4.0, is currently open highlighted by President Joko Widodo. On several occasions, he always mentioned Industry 4.0. In fact, President Joko Widodo also has a roadmap called Making Indonesia 4.0, which will provide direction for the national industry movement in the future in a bid to make Indonesia a developed country. The Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap was determined by President Joko Widodo as one of Indonesia's national agendas. The program coordinator is the Minister of Industry. Actually, what is meant by Industry 4.0? According to Acting Director of General, Director General of Resilience and Development of International Industrial Access at the Minister of Industry, Ngakan Timur Antara stated that Industry 4.0 is a trend of transformation of industrial processes driven by rapid technological developments, especially in the progress of automation and data exchange. The implementation of the fourth generation industrial revolution involves several key aspects of the transformation of latest technology. The 4.0 industrial revolution that relies on the internet certainly makes it easier for humans. Today, the fourth industrial revolution has also changed the economy, work, and even society. This revolution instills smart technology and is connected not only within the company but also everyday human life. Like coins that have two different sides, Industry 4.0 brings about not only benefits but also new challenges, especially for the workforce. The automation or utilization of robots in the manufacturing production process allows for reduction in labor, even though the number is not significant. To deal with changes in Industry 4.0, Indonesia is ready to anticipate it. One of them is by improving the competence of human resources through a link and match program between education and industry. This link and match policy is implemented to ensure that the competency of Indonesian human resources are in line with the needs of industry based on digital technology as well as the Industrial Revolution 4.0. Hopefully, with the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap launched by President Joko Widodo and efforts to improve their competence of human resources through the Link and Match program between education and industry. Indonesia will be ready to face the Industrial Revolution 4.0, and Indonesia can increase productivity and competitiveness. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over Aerial Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on November 12th about National Health Day. National Health Day was initiated because of malaria disease. By 1960, there was malaria endemic which attacked Indonesian people. As a result, thousands of Indonesian people became victims of the disease. In 1960, there were fogging and extermination of malaria by using dichlorodiphenyl trichloretint DDT. On November 12, 1964, initially fogging in Kelasan, Yogyakarta was carried out, and it was led by Sukarno, the first Indonesian president. Although the activity was conducted only as symbolic, the event was very interesting because there were counseling and education given to the people. The event became the establishment of National Health Day. The next event was in 1945 when Sudirman was selected as a great commander of People's Security Army, commander of Indonesian Armed Forces and the youngest through Conference of People's Security Army. Great General of Indonesian Army Sudirman is Indonesian hero who fought in the era of Indonesian National Revolution. In the struggle history, he was noted as the youngest and the first Indonesian commander of general. When he was 31 years old, he had become a general. After People's Security Army was established, postgraduate proclamation, he was installed to be commander of division, fight by UMAS, with a colonel rank. Through the conference of the People's Security Army on November 12, 1945, Sudirman was selected to become great commander of the People's Security Army or Indonesian Armed Forces. Then he began to suffer tuberculosis. However, he was still active in some campaign of guerrilla war against Nika. Although Sudirman suffered severe pulmonary tuberculosis, he still joined guerrilla in war to defend the independence of Indonesia. In 1950, Sudirman passed away and to be buried at Hero Cemetery of Kusuma Negara in Semaki, Yogyakarta. And the last event was in 1998 when Semanggi tragedy occurred. Semanggi tragedy referred to two tragedies of public interest on the implementation and agenda of special plenary, which caused some civilians to be killed. The first event was known as Semanggi I tragedy, which occurred November 11 until 13, 1998, the time of Indonesian transitional government, which caused 17 civilians to be killed. The second one was known as Semanggi II tragedy, which occurred on September 24, 1999. This tragedy killed a student and 11 people throughout Jakarta and caused more than 400 injured from various sites of communities. In November 1998, the Indonesian Transitional Government conducted a special session to determine the next general election and discuss the government's agendas, which would be carried out. The students were turbulent again because they did not recognize the B.J. Habibie's government and did not believe with the members of the House of Representatives or People's Consular Assembly of new regime. They also insisted to eliminate military prone politics and clean the government from new regime's people. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Well, listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. For today's topic is 2018 World Creative Economic Conference produces Bali Agenda for Creative Economy. Indonesia hosted the World Creative Economic Conference, WCCE, for the first time. Located in Nusa Dua, Bali, the conference lasted 6 until 8 November, and it was attended by 1,500 participants from more than 30 countries. The WCCE produces the Bali Agenda for Creative Economy, which will be delivered at the United Nations General Assembly next year. One of the points of the agreement is the election of United Arab Emirates as the location for implementing the next WCCE in 2020. Head of the Creative Economy Agency, Bekrat Triawan Munaf, said last Thursday that the Bali Agenda for Creative Economy is an aspiration and reflection of the importance of creative economy towards the global economy. Collaboration is needed to support the strengthening of the creative economy ecosystem. The declaration is expected to further strengthen international collaboration at the global level. This reflects the strong commitment of all participants to face challenges and take advantage of creative economic opportunities. The Bali Agenda contains issues of capital access, market access, product development, promotion, infrastructure development, and many others. According to Triawan Munaf, Bali Agenda is a milestone in the development of creative economy. This declaration is the result of a delegation meeting in the Friends of Creative Economy activity held on the first day of the WCCE 2018. The agreement includes four main points divided into 21 derivative points. The first important point is collaboration and collective behavior of friends of creative economy. The participating countries agreed to establish a center for leading of creative economy in Indonesia. This center of excellence functions as a platform for creative economy actors from around the world to connect ideas, resources, information, and business concepts, including in the music, culinary, and digital applications. Other points are the development of creative economy ecosystem, celebration, promotion, and empowerment of sustainable development goals, SDGs, cultural heritage, and diversity. The last point is determination of location of the next WCCE implementation. At her speech at the World Creative Economic Conference in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia would be a creative economic capital in the Southeast Asian region. Indonesian rich cultural heritage has enabled Indonesia to develop creative industries, fashion, culinary arts, and crafts, and entertainment. This has become an anchor for the Indonesian economy, which enables it to remain strong in the face of economic crisis. Indonesia has more than enough creative modalities from 700 ethnic groups throughout the archipelago. Thus, Minister Retno perceived that synergy among academics, business, community, government, and the media is needed to make it come true. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian National Army and Singapore's Armed Forces hold a joint military exercise at Battle and Training Education Center at the Regional Military Base 5 Brawijaya Asam Bagus, Situbondo Regency, East Java from November 12 to 19. Director General of the Small Medium Enterprises at the Indonesian Industrial Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsih, said that the small and medium enterprises contribute to supporting the national economy because the activities of these industries can give positive output for the development of national economy. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Archandra Tahar said that the process of oil and gas business implemented by the government has three aspects in a bid to achieve justice. Indonesian President Joko Widodo admitted Indonesian start-up companies have opportunity to expand to the neighboring countries, however, there are also obstacles that challenge their expansion. One of the steering committees of the Paris Peace Forum, Yeni Wahid, talked about the role of women at the Paris Peace Forum, which has taken place from November 11 to 13, 2018. At the forum, Yeni was invited as a speaker in one session about the role of women in struggling for independence, including the program of Peaceful Village and early detection system of radicalism. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya is attempting to make the Tabuk Festival in Pariaman, West Sumatra, as a national tourism agenda. Indonesian men's doubles team Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo and Marcus Gideon won their champion title at the China Open 2018 after defeating the host team in a final round held at Haixia Olympic Sports Center, Changshan District, Fuzhou, China on Sunday, November 11. Based on the report from Antara in Jakarta and an official World Badminton website, Kevin and Marcus won three sets against the doubles team He Jiting and Tan Kiang in 58 minutes duration. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Nusantara Beach in Riau. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Listeners, Lingga is one of Regencies in Riau Islands province, which has 531 big and small islands. Around 547 islands are unoccupied. Because the province has many islands, Lingga Regency has many potential natural tourisms. One of them is Nusantara Beach at Tanjung Harapan Village, Sinkep District, Lingga Regency, Riau. Listeners, Nusantara Beach has coastline with head shape of concave like gulf. The coastal line is not quite wide, only around 2 hectares. The beach is arranged neatly and its cleanliness is maintained until the beach is seen beautiful and interesting. It also becomes one of reasons why the beach is never devoid of visitors, either domestic or foreign tourists. If you go to the beach, you can explore the flat side of the beach and on the beach, they are built wooden huts. Listeners, Nusantara Beach has brown sand and calm wave, and also clear water. The visitors can swim around the beach. Besides, there is a small island which juts to the sea that can be accessed by walking through small bridge with wooden fence. On the artificial island, as wide as 20 meters, you can sunbathe on the relaxing chair, eating at the stall, or only taking picture. And if you are lucky, you will see white storks which are flying or finding food at the seashore. If you have fishing hobby, you can enjoy your hobby here. Listeners, to go to Nusantara Beach is quite easy by using motorcycle or car. The beach is open whole days. Many tourists choose to come to the beach in the evening because at the time you can enjoy very beautiful scenery. To enter the beach is free of charge. The facility at the beach is quite complete. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Nusantara Beach in Riau Province. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ucapan Ulang Tahun Lewat Postel, or in English, Birthday Greetings Through Email. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about ucapan ulang tahun lewat postel, or in English, birthday greetings through email. Tony celebrating birthday at Joker's house. They are talking together.
Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat postel.
Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya?
Ya, sudah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Telepon, in English, telephone. Post, in English, post. Postel, in English, email. Lewat, in English, through or by. Via, in English, via. Melalui, in English, through or by.
menyampaikan selamat. Menyampaikan selamat. In English, congratulate. Mengirim. In English, to send. Hadiah. In English, gift. Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat POSEL. Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat POSEL. In English, my sister sent me a happy birthday message via email. Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya? Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya? In English, have you replied it? Ya, sudah. Ya, sudah. Yes, I did. In the dialogue, Tony said, kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat POSEL, which means my sister or brother sent me a birthday greeting by email. These expressions are usually used when someone provides information about equipment that used when sending, delivering, or giving something. In such expressions, they are usually used the word lewat in English through. The word lewat in the phrase means via or through. Let's follow some examples of the use of word lewat, via, melalui, or in English through or by. Dia menyampaikan selamat lewat telepon. Dia menyampaikan selamat lewat telepon. In English, he or she sent me a congratulations by phone. Dia menyampaikan selamat via telepon. Dia menyampaikan selamat via telepon. In English, he or she sent me a congratulations via phone. Dia menyampaikan selamat melalui telepon. Dia menyampaikan selamat melalui telepon. In English, he or she sent me a congratulations by phone. Kakakku mengirim hadiah lewat pos. Kakakku mengirim hadiah lewat pos. In English, my sister or brother sent me a gift via post. Kakakku mengirim hadiah via pos. Kakakku mengirim hadiah via pos. In English, my sister or brother sent me a gift via post. Kakakku mengirim hadiah melalui pos. Kakakku mengirim hadiah melalui pos. In English, my sister or brother sent me a gift by post. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Kakakku mengirim pesan selamat ulang tahun lewat POSEL.
Apakah kamu sudah membalasnya?
Ya, sudah.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular music corner, a segment which presents Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong songs by Gesang. Let's begin with this first song, Bengawan Solo, Happy Listening.
Kau berdagang
Pos Pengawan Solo Sangbai Gesang. This song has raised the name of Gesang not only in Indonesia but also in other countries such as Japan. The song was translated into several foreign languages such as English, Russian, and Japanese, and also used in one of the big screen films in Japan. Gesang Marto Hartono, or better known as Gesang, was born in Surakarta, Central Java on October 1, 1917. He created the song Bengawan Solo in 1940, when he was 23 years old. At the time, the young Gesang sat on the edge of Bengawan Solo. He admired for the river that inspired him to compose the song Bengawan Solo. Gesang needed about 6 months to complete it, which then took him to the title as Maestro Kroncong Indonesia. Listener, let's listen to the next song, Kalung Mutiara.
Dia berjanji setia padaku. Namun akhirnya kini tinggalkan diriku.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Music Corner. You've just listened to Kalung Mutiara by Gesang. The original Kroncong song tells about love story that must end because the distance separates them. The love story that exists between two persons from different nations. The lover must return to his or her homeland or country forever. The Indonesian Kroncong Maestro Gesang died in his hometown, Surakarta, Central Java, on May 20, 2010, at the age of 92 years. But his work in Indonesian Kroncong music will never be forgotten. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, we present the last two songs entitled Suasana Desa and Sebelum Aku Mati by Gesang. Happy listening! And see you on the next Music Corner.
Dari atas langit, mereka memuji karena itulah menjadi tanaman bersemi. Berkahnya
hujan yang turun dari atas langit. Mereka memuji karena itulah menjadi tanaman bersemi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.